Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Miami Vineyard Podcast. We hope this message encourages you, breathes life into you, and helps you experience God's love. Enjoy the message.
Hey, Miami Vineyard, so good to be with you. So good to be with those of you joining us online today right now. Hey, can we welcome in our online Vineyard family? Come on, let's hear it for them. Make some noise. And for those of you joining us at home today, we will be taking communion at the end of the service today. So I want to encourage you right now, maybe find some juice, some water, cracker, bread, whatever, so you can participate with us at the end. So my name is Kevin. I'm one of the pastors. We are in week three of a series that we're calling Endgame, where we're looking at what's going to happen at the end of it all. And so, you know, there's been a lot of interest in this over the years, lots of interest. In fact, many movies have been about this, like end time stuff, like these apocalyptic movies, like Mad Max, Armageddon, The Day After Tomorrow, 2012, Encanto. Well, maybe not Encanto. But listen, if you're a parent today of smaller kids, and your parents, and you have seen, your kids have seen Encanto over 200 times, you're probably wishing the world would end. But anyway, but it seems like every time there's like a cataclysmic kind of world event, people start asking, like, are we getting close to the end? And so what I said a couple weeks ago is we're going to have together a conversation about this. And I said we're going to have a series of four talks about this. And we are in talk number three. We had two other previous messages about this the past two weekends. If you missed any of those two previous messages, I'd encourage you to go online, MiamiVineyard.com, go to YouTube and watch those other 2 weeks of messages. But so why are we doing this? Well, first of all, I want you to be informed. But secondly, I want to breathe some hope into you that for those of us here today who are followers of Jesus, we should have tremendous hope. Because in the end, guess what? We win. In the end, we win as followers of Jesus. In the end, we talked about this past couple weeks, Jesus returning, coming back a second time. When Jesus comes back a second time, he establishes his reign, his rule. He sets all the wrong right. All the evil is gone. Death is defeated. Sickness is defeated. The devil is defeated. And everything is made right. So at the end, come on, somebody, at the end, at the end, we win. We win. We got to know that. At the end, we win. Now, will it get difficult before all that good stuff happens? The Bible seems to indicate that it will. That there seems to indicate that there's going to be some tough times. But in the midst of that, you've got to know that Jesus makes this hope-filled statement. He says, I will never leave you and never forsake you. He says, I will be with you even till the end of the age. God is going to be with us. But as we talk about the end times, a couple of things. First of all, nobody knows the details. Nobody. I don't care what people say, what they write. Nobody knows the details. Nobody knows the when. Not even Pastor Kevin. Last Sunday, I made this statement. I made this statement about the Miami Dolphins last Sunday. And I said this, if the Dolphins beat the Buffalo Bills last Sunday, I said, if the Dolphins win that game, and if they go 3-0, I said, Jesus is coming back tonight. That's what I said. That was obviously before the game was played. So the Dolphins played Buffalo Bills last Sunday, and the Dolphins won. Like any Dolphin fans here, the Dolphins won. And so all night long, I sat on my couch waiting for Jesus to come back. And I want to thank the hundreds of you for sending me Instagram messages about that. Yeah, my phone was blowing up. My wife said, what's going on? I said, yeah, I made some comment about the Dolphins. Yeah. So. But listen, nobody knows. And secondly, some of you have been, you know, I've been talking to some of you in the hallways after the services and during the week and so forth, and some of you said, Pastor Kevin, thank you for this series. And you went on and you said, thank you for making it so hope-filled. And several of you told me stories about how in your past, whether it was a church experience or you read a book or you heard a talk, And some, whoever the speaker was and the author was, they used the end time events to scare you and basically to coerce you into stepping in and following Jesus. They leveraged it to scare you to follow Jesus. Can I tell you, Jesus never scared anyone into following him. He was never, Jesus never used fear. He never was a fear monger. Jesus invited people to follow him. So if all these end time stuff freaks you out and somebody used it to almost, you almost felt like manipulated by it, can I just say, I'm sorry. I really am. I'm sorry for you, because that should never be the case. But with all that being said, okay, today we are going to be looking at the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation. Now, even if you read the Bible regularly, and I hope that you do, most people never get to the last book. Because the last book of Revelation is it's a little freaky in the last book. I get it. There's some crazy stuff in there. I'm not going to lie. There's dragons, and there's beasts, and there's multiple heads, and there's 666, and there's tons of numbers and symbols. I mean, you can read about 12 stars and 10 horns and 7 heads and 6 wings and 4 bowls and 2 olive trees and a partridge in a pear tree. I just made the last part up. But I didn't make the rest of it up. You can read about 10 horns and 7 heads and 6 wings and all that stuff in that book. And the challenge people have when they read the book of Revelation is they get scared and they get creeped out. But part of the reason is because of this. We don't know how to read it. We don't know how to read it. So today what I want to do is I want to help you know how to read the Revelation and the book of Revelation. Because if we know how to read it, can I tell you, the book of Revelation doesn't have to scare you. The book of Revelation can build your faith. The book of Revelation can give you hope like you've never had before if we know how to read it. It's going to build your faith. I want you to turn to somebody right now, look at them and say, ooh, this is going to be good today. Go tell them, this is going to be good today. Tell them, this is going to be good today. Put it online. This is going to be good today in the chat. So I want to help you understand it. And Revelation is all about Jesus. The Christian faith is all about Jesus. I mean, Christian. It's all about Jesus. And so Revelation is all about Jesus. And what I want to do today is I want to look at Jesus in the book of Revelation. And when we can see who Jesus is in the book of Revelation, and when we read it through that lens, I'm telling you, it's going to make all the difference in the world of how we read and understand the book of Revelation. So, I'd love for you to do something as we get started today. I'd love for you to locate some message notes. Message notes are all virtual. So if you already have the Miami Vineyard app downloaded, now would be a great time to tap on weekends and tap on message notes. But if you're with us, you don't have the app yet, you can go to your app store, search Miami Vineyard. You can find our app. Or if you're in the room today, scan this QR code in the seat back in front of you. Download our app. It's a free download, Miami Vineyard app. Once you get the app downloaded, tap on this weekend, tap on message notes, and they're right there in English and Espanol, right there. So, what I want to do today is I want to give you 5 snapshots of Jesus in Revelation, and then as you read it through these snapshots. So here we go, if you're taking notes. Here we go. Number 1, Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. I want to read for you a couple of verses from Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. It goes like this. It says, look, he is coming in the clouds, and every eye will see him. Now, pause there for a moment. We've been talking about this the past couple of weeks. The second coming of Jesus, because Jesus is coming again. He promised. He came the first time at Christmas, but he's coming again. We've been talking about this. So here it is in Revelation. Look, he is coming in the clouds, and every eye is going to see him, even those who pierced him. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The Alpha and the Omega. Now, what does that mean, the Alpha and the Omega? Well, Alpha is the first letter in the Greek alphabet. Omega is the last letter in the Greek alphabet. If he was writing this to us today, he would write, I am the A and the Z and every letter in between. I am the A. I am the Alpha. He says, I was there in the beginning of it all, Alpha. I am the Omega. I am already there in the end of it all, and I am with you every step in between. Now that's, yeah, come on, somebody. That is so good to know at the end, but you know, it's just not the end. It's so good to know right here and right now. Some of you got stuff going on in your lives. We all do. You got relational issues. You might have some financial issues, maybe some health issues, maybe some friend issues, maybe some marital issues, maybe some career issues, whatever it is. And sometimes people say, where is God in all of this? I'll tell you exactly where God is. God was with you before you were ever born. Alpha, he was with you. He already sees the end of it all, Omega, and God is with you every step in between. If you ever wonder where God is, you think of just Alpha and Omega. Alpha and Omega, he's with you in the very beginning, already seen the end, and with you every step in between. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus Christ is with you every step of the way. But that's not all. This the chapter 1 and also goes into this in Revelation. Look what so the person who wrote this, his name is John. John was a follower of Jesus, and John had a vision, right? So the whole book of Revelation is a vision. And John is trying to give words to these crazy things he's seeing in his vision, and he's trying to give it words. And so here's John writing about Jesus at the end, right? At the end. He said his head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like a blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. His voice was like the sound of rushing waters. His face was like the sun shining in its brilliance. When I saw him, John said, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I'm the living one. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. So here's John. Now, John was one of the disciples of Jesus. He was one of the original 12. He was with Jesus for 3 years, right? He's with them. He knew Jesus. In fact, he wasn't just with Jesus. The Bible says about John, like John was in his inner circle. John was like Jesus' BFF. So he knew Jesus. But all of a sudden, he sees Jesus in this vision, and he's freaking out. He said he fell at his feet as though dead. He's like, whoa, dude, like, who's this? You know, my grandson just turned 2. I got a picture of my grandson coming up here on screen. He just turned 2. And my son taught him this phrase, whoa, dude. And so whenever he sees something amazing, he just says, whoa, dude. And so, you know, if the Dolphins would have been 4-0, they went 3-0, then they lost the game. But if they would have got 4-0, he would have said, whoa, dude. Or when Grandpa takes a football and takes it and just gives it a, just like you did right now, he says, whoa, dude. I mean, that's exactly what John's doing. He said, whoa, dude. And it could be, he's seeing Jesus in a totally different light. Like his face is shining like the sun. His hair is white as wool. His eyes were like a blazing fire. His feet were glowing. And he's seeing Jesus like this, and he's saying, what's going on? Here's what's going on. The first time Jesus came, he came as a suffering servant. But the next time he comes, he's coming as a conquering king. That's what's going on. That's what he's seeing. He's seeing a conquering king. He's seeing the risen Christ. He's seeing the majestic Jesus. The first time Jesus came, he came as a regular dude. But the second time, he's coming as a majestic hero. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. That's the first. So chapters 1-3, when you read chapters 1-3, read it through that lens. He's Alpha and Omega. Here we go. Here's the second image of Jesus in the book of Revelation. Number 2, Jesus is the Lamb of God. 28 times in the Bible, he's referred to as the Lamb of God. So when you read chapters 4 and 5, and if you begin to read chapter 4 and 5, chapter 4 opens up, again, part of the vision John is seeing. And he sees God seated on a throne. And there's a scroll. There's a scroll that gets delivered. And nobody can open the scroll. Nobody can open this. Nobody is worthy to open the scroll. And John says in the vision, John says, I started just weeping bitterly because nobody could open the scroll. I want to see what was in the scroll. So we pick up the story on your outlines. Revelation chapter 5, verse 6, John says, in the vision, then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by four living creatures and the elders. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased people for God from every tribe and language and nation. Now, what's some of you going, I don't understand all this stuff about the lamb. Okay. Back in John's day, you got to understand his readers were Jewish. His readers, who he wrote this to, would have totally gotten this. This would have been powerful to his readers. Some of you might remember when John the Baptist, a different John, saw Jesus, the very first thing he said when John the Baptist saw Jesus in person, he said, "Behold, there's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Some of you might know the story of Moses back in the day and the people of the Jewish nation that was held captivity for 400 years, being freed from slavery. God sent powerful plagues, 10 plagues. Plague number 10, the last plague, was God says, "I am going to smite and going to kill the firstborn of every Egyptian, so you let go," because the Pharaoh wouldn't let him go. He said, "I'm going to kill the firstborn of every one of the other families, and then he's going to let you go." And he said, "But you, Israelites, you, so the angel of death doesn't strike your firstborn, you take blood and you put it across the doorway so the angel of death will pass over." And that's exactly what happened. The angel of death passed over. To this day, it's called the Passover because the angel of death passed over. Folks, all that is foreshadowing to Jesus Christ. That when Jesus Christ hung on a cross and he shed his blood, he was the Lamb of God. He gave his blood. His blood takes away the sins of the world. And the angel of death passes us over. That's exactly what's happening. That's exactly what's happening. The angel of death passes us over. That's what's going on. That's exactly what's going on. It says, look what it says. It says, your blood purchased, with your blood, you purchased people for God from every tribe and language and nation. Aren't you glad? How many of you are glad that Jesus forgives all your sins? Anybody glad about that? I mean, come on. I know I am. I know I'm a sinner, and I know you're a bigger one. I know that. So, Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Now, those are the first five chapters of Revelation. Now, the next 12 chapters of Revelation, from chapters 6 through 18, I just want to tell you, those chapters in Revelation, they get a little freaky. This is where you find stuff like the Mark of the Beast. You find stuff like the Antichrist. You find stuff like 666. And listen, can I just tell you, if you want to have some crazy dreams tonight, read these chapters right before you go to bed, and you will have some freaky dreams, I can promise you. But again, I'm not exploring all the details of Revelation, but I'm just trying to, who is Jesus, and how can we read Revelation? So here's number three, if you're taking notes. In these chapters, I want you to see Jesus in these chapters. Number three, Jesus as the righteous judge. He's the righteous judge. And listen, folks, when it gets to the end, I just want to be honest with you. According to the Bible, it does get worse before it gets better. So you've got a couple of judgments that these chapters speak about. You got a judgment called the seal judgment, and this is where you can read about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. You've seen movies about this and all kinds of stuff about this. This is it. They just took it from Revelation. The Bible does talk about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And you can see the moon turn to blood red, and at about a quarter of the world's population will die from famine and plagues. There's another set of judgments called the trumpet judgments, where you read about hail mixed with fire falling from the sky. A third of the vegetation is destroyed. A third of the water is contaminated. A third of the sea creatures die. A third of the light is lost, and a third of the world dies. Suffice it to say, this is a rough time. It's just a bad time. Then there's the bowl judgment. Sores will appear on people because of the mark of the beast. Water turns to blood. Sun scorches people. Devastating earthquakes. John describes 100-pound hail falling from the sky. Again, he's just trying to give language to what he's seeing in this vision, and he can't even give it words, because think about somebody living 2,000 years ago trying to describe things that would happening in the future. It's just hard to put language to it all. But sometimes you read stuff like that, and I get asked a question often. And the question goes like this. Some of you might be having the same question right now. Pastor Kevin, how can a loving God bring these kinds of judgments? It's a great question. Here's a simple answer. It's a right answer. I'm not trying to make too simplistic, but here's what's going on. God is dealing with evil in the world. He is. He's dealing with evil in the world. Some of you might remember the great flood back in Noah's day. The Bible said back in Noah's day, everyone had turned to evil except for Noah and his family. Everyone killing each other. Everyone had turned to evil. And God had a great flood, and he said, I'm going to start over again. And he did. He started over again with Noah and his family. And that's kind of what's happening here. Evil and sin have consequences. But here's what you got to know. But throughout all of this judgment, there is mercy. You can read about a book of Revelation that throughout all of this, God is desiring and he's wanting people that would turn to him. Do you know what the number one reason is why people turn to Jesus and why people come to faith and why people attend church? Number one overarching reason. Anybody want to guess what it is? Crisis. When crisis happens in people's lives, guess what they do? They turn to God. Some of you might remember 9/11 back in the day. Our church was much smaller then. We were meeting at a high school then. But can I tell you, for the two Sundays following 9/11, our church was packed. I'd just never seen it that full. Why? Crisis. People wondered, what's going to happen to me? Am I going to be okay? How many more attacks are we going to have? It only lasted for 2 weeks. Then church was like it normally was. People come to God in a crisis. But God doesn't say, oh, you should have came to me before. Don't come to me now. You only come to me in a crisis. Sucks to be you. God doesn't say that. Now, we might do that, but God doesn't do that. God says, come to me. Come to me. If it took crisis, then come. If that's what it took, then come. Because God wants to be in a relationship with so badly. He desires so badly to be in a relationship with us. And so even in the midst of all of this, some of you know the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son, Jesus told this story. The son takes his father's wealth, his inheritance early. He gets it early. He goes and wastes it all, spends it all, and all in sin and all kinds of stuff. And the son finds himself eating, living with and eating the stuff the pigs eat. Consequences. And the Bible says, so there was consequences. And when he found himself in those consequences, the Bible says he came to his senses and he says, I'm going to go back to my dad. And he did. See, when God sends consequences, that's when people tend to turn to him. And in the midst of all of this, you can read in Revelation, what I love about this is there's always this turning to God, this turning to God, turning to God. There's always mercy. There's always an opportunity to turn back to God. Yes, there is judgment coming. Yes, but also, yes, there is mercy. Yes, there is grace. Yes, there is forgiveness. Yes, there is redemption. Yes, there is restoration, because that's the God we serve. Listen, when you mess up, and you will mess up, it's not if, but when, how many times do we say we run away from God instead of running to God? God's the only one who can forgive. And we run away from the very one who wants to forgive you. Well, I don't want to tell that to God like he doesn't already know. Listen, run to God. Run to God. He loves you. He wants to forgive you. Here we go. Here we go. So that's chapter 6 through 18. Here we go. There's four chapters left, chapters 19 and 20. Number four, if you're taking notes, I want you to see, when you read those chapters, see Jesus as the King of Kings. So John is continuing with his vision. We're now in chapter 19. John says, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. Isn't it amazing how the good guy always rides a white horse? You got to know that. With justice, he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on a white horse and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword which struck down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. On his thigh, He has it written. And I'm just saying, I don't think he wrote it with a Sharpie. On his thigh, he had the name written. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ had a tattoo on his thigh, written. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And as I said in the beginning, in Revelation, this is going to build your faith. This should build your faith. This whole point of Revelation, this should build your faith. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It doesn't matter what anybody writes to the opposite. It doesn't matter how learned somebody is and how many degrees somebody has, and they're going to say that Jesus was this or was that. It doesn't matter what anybody writes. It doesn't matter what anybody says. It doesn't matter what anybody posts on social media. It does not change the fact that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's who Jesus Christ is. You got to know it doesn't matter what anybody says. Because the Bible says that one day, no matter what people felt about Jesus when they're here on planet Earth, that every person in every nation, in every language, in every tongue, everybody is going to bow down and take a knee before Jesus, and they're going to honor him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Because that's who Jesus Christ is. That's who he is. He is King of Kings, and he is Lord of Lords. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Lamb of God. He is a righteous judge. And he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And folks, this should build your faith. Because in the end, we win. We win. We win. Now. So Jesus came the first time at Christmas. He's coming a second time sometime in the future. We don't know when that's going to be, but sometime he's coming again. So here we are living now, in between the times. First time he came, second time he came, we're living in between the times. And listen, in between the times, I've just got to tell you, we don't always win. Because, now we're going to win at the end, but in between time, right? In between time, there still is sickness. There still is death. And it's just we're caught between the times. When Jesus came the first time, he brought heaven. He brought this future world, no more death, no more sickness, no more dying. He brought it into this world now, but it's not here fully. It's only here partially. One day it's going to be here fully. Right now it's here partially. So my mom, 2 years ago, passed away because of cancer. She had breast cancer, went to her head, became brain cancer. She died. And so people were saying, if your mother just had enough faith, she'd be healed. Can I tell you, no one on this planet had more faith than my mother. Nobody. My father, 10 years ago, died because of Parkinson's. And people said, if your father just had enough faith, he'd be healed. Nobody had more faith than my father. Amen. Folks, it's not, now, is faith important? Yes. But it's not just a faith issue. We are caught between the times. The kingdom of God is here, but it's not here fully. Now, one day, everybody's healed, everybody's restored, everybody's made whole and made new. One day, but we are caught between the times. That's why people get sick. That's why this stuff happens. That's why people die. But it does not mean that God doesn't still heal today, because he does heal today. God does restore today. God does restore today. God does heal today. It does not mean that death doesn't happen here today. We still pray. We want that to happen. We pray. But just because your loved one passes away doesn't mean that you didn't have enough faith, or your family didn't have enough faith, or your church didn't have enough faith. It doesn't mean that. It means that this is the reality of caught between the times. But God still moves in these times. I have seen hundreds and hundreds of miracles of God still moving in these times. Some crazy, wild things that God does because God's God. And he loves us. And he loves us. So, Jesus is the King of Kings. And here we go, number five. I love this one. Jesus, so we're to the last two chapters of Revelation, chapters 21 and 22. And when you read these chapters, see Jesus as the bridegroom. Now, multiple times in the Bible, it refers to Jesus as the bridegroom, okay? So, if Jesus is the bridegroom, who's the bride? We are. We are his people. The church, by the way, the church is not a building. The church is a group of people. The church, we are. We are. We are his bride. And I love the imagery here. I love it. Listen, this should just build your faith and just encourage you. Because look, when two people get married, when a man and a woman get married, and I perform many, many weddings, look, those are the two most important people in the world right there. The bride and the bridegroom, the two most important people in the world. Think of Jesus is the bridegroom. He calls us the bride. Think of the importance he places on us. Think of the significance he places on us, that we are his bride. That's just huge. And for the past 2,000 years, Jesus, the bridegroom, has been preparing a place for us, a home for us, for 2,000 years. We can read about it in Revelation verses 9 and 10. Look what it says. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." That's us. And so John said, he carried me away in this vision, in the spirit, to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem. He's talking about the new heaven, the new earth, coming down from heaven. This city does not need the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. This is the new heaven we've been talking about for 2 weeks now. The new heaven, new earth. By the way, the new earth is going to blow this earth away. This is just an image of what it was like. The Garden of Eden would blow your mind. But because of sin entered the world, it didn't just affect humanity, it affected the earth too. So what we see right now is just a small fraction of what's going to be like one day. So the new heaven, new earth is going to be, and you know, this is where it's going to be. No more sickness, no more dying, no more hurricanes, no more any of this stuff. And look what it says: the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God gives it light. You know what that means? No more FPL bills. That's what that means right there. No more FPL bills. And then I love this at the end. The end of the book of Revelation. Okay? We're at the end of the Bible. Okay, here it is. The last page of the Bible, right before Weights and Measures. Okay, this is it. The last page. Revelation chapter 22. The last page. I love how the book ends. You know how the book ends? The book ends with the word, come. God says, Jesus says, come. Come to me. Look what it says in verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who has ears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. Jesus said, come. It's the entire message of the Bible. He says, come. From Genesis to Revelation, Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation chapter 22, come. Jesus is saying, come, come, come. He said, look, you're looking for something. You're searching for something. He says, come. Every human being is searching for something. Every human being is searching to satisfy the deepest longing in the soul. Every human being. We try to find it with all kinds of things. We try to find it through sex. We try to find it through money. We try to find it through a job and a career. We try to find it through people. We try to find it through a spouse. We try to find it through a maid. But there's only one who can fill the deepest longing in our soul, and that is Jesus Christ. The only one, the only one, the only one. He's the only one that can bring soul satisfaction. And this is why sometimes married couples have such a hard time. Because they get confused and they think that, oh, I found my soulmate. I found my soulmate. Well, there's only one who can satisfy the soul. And when we expect our spouse to satisfy the deepest longing in our hearts that only God can satisfy, we set ourselves up and we set our spouse up for failure. Because they can never satisfy the deepest longing in your soul. Only Jesus Christ can do that. Only Jesus Christ can do that. And some of you right now are going, whoa, dude. Because you're going, you know, I never thought about it that way. I've been trying to, you know, my spouse is supposed to satisfy like this thing on the inside. Listen, they're never going to do that because they're not designed to do that. Only Jesus Christ can do that. And so if we get that deep soul satisfaction from Jesus, now listen, spouses are fantastic. I've had my spouse for older than I am, 36 years. It was an arranged marriage before birth. spouses are fantastic, but only one can satisfy the deepest longing in the soul. And his name is Jesus Christ. And that's why he says, come. He says, come. He says, come to me. Come to me. Come to me. You're trying to find it through all this kind of stuff. And he says, look, come to me. Come to me. Come to me. I want to satisfy the deepest longing in your soul. So I want us to do something right now together. And would you locate, when you walked in the doors, you got a cup of juice. Would you locate that cup of juice right now? And if you did not get one, you got in without one, just put a hand up in the air right now. There's people going to walk around, going to give you one of these. So just put a hand up. Don't be shy. Put a hand up all over this place. Put a hand up in the air. People coming. They're going to give you one of these. Don't be shy. Just keep your hand up. If you're online with us right now, it's not too late. Listen, it's not too late. Online, grab some water. Grab some juice, grab some cracker, grab some bread. It's not too late. Go grab something. You can take communion with us. So keep your hands up. They're coming. Keep your hands up. They're coming. Let me tell you, use this. So to open this, take the clear plastic and pull that one back and expose that white wafer. Don't take it yet. We're going to take it together here in a second. And then take the purple foil. That one's a little tougher. Pull that one back and open the purple foil up. And listen, if you didn't get one of these, you want one, put a hand up. Don't be shy. People are going to walk around and give you one of these. So what's happening right now is that we call this hand up over here in the second row. I see somebody here yet, this section. Right up here, okay, it's coming to you, okay. What's happened, this is called communion. If you're not from a church background and this is your first time, or listen, we love you, we're glad you're here. But this is called communion. And what Jesus, before Jesus died on the cross, he said, listen, I'm gonna give you something, and every time you take this, he said, do it to remember me. This whole message has been about Jesus Christ and who he is in the book of Revelation and who he is in our lives. So on the night before Jesus went to the cross, he took a loaf of bread. He broke the bread. He passed it around to his 12 closest followers. He said, every time you eat this, do this in remembrance of me. So let's take this right now. Let's remember Jesus. After he took the bread, he took a glass of wine. He says, this wine represents my blood, which is going to be shed on a cross for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Every time you take this, do this in remembrance of me. Let's take this right now. Let's remember Jesus. And would you continue to pray with me right now? Just take a moment. Would you continue to pray with me right now? Jesus, we thank you for your presence that's in this space today. We can feel you. We can sense you. Some of you, it may all be, this whole experience may be brand new to you, but you could sense something different today. Like, this is not a normal deal going on here. It's the presence of Jesus that's alive and rose from the dead, and the Spirit of God is in this place today. And can I just invite you? Look, he says, come. If there's never been a time in your life where you have said yes to Jesus, he's inviting you today. You want the deepest longing in your soul. You want to say, Jesus, I need you. Then listen, follow me in this simple prayer right now. Don't have to pray it out loud, but just inside, say, Jesus, today I choose you. Jesus, today I choose to follow you. Jesus, today I choose to commit my life to you. Jesus, I've tried it in all these other ways, but Jesus, I know now today that you are the one that can satisfy the deepest longing inside. Jesus, today I open my life and I open my heart to you. Now, for the rest of us in here that we've done this before, we've said yes to Jesus before, can I invite you right now, as we read about this Jesus in the book of Revelation and his majestic and his majesty, and that he is a King of kings and Lord of lords, can I invite you right now would you again make him in your life your king and your Lord and your boss in your life? Would you say again to Jesus, Jesus Christ, I want to serve you. I want to follow you. I want to go all in with you. Jesus, today I'm re-upping my commitment to you. I'm going all in with you. I'm going all in with you. Maybe I've been drifting, maybe I've been wandering, maybe I've been doing this, whatever it was. Jesus, today I'm going all in with you. I want to follow you with my heart and my soul and my mind and my strength. So God, I thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and our lives today. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.
Thanks for joining in today. If you enjoyed this podcast, we'd love for you to leave a review, subscribe to this channel, and share with a friend. We'd also love the chance to connect with you. You can text the word NEW to 786-705-8930. Again, that's NEW to 786-705-8930. And we'll give you some next steps with how to plug in and get connected here at Miami Vineyard. We hope you have an amazing week, and thanks again for listening.